today may be the reason why you're having a hard time connecting with God. Today we may be talking about the thing that is the cause behind what you're struggling with, or if you're dealing with issues in your past, or just can't seem to get the breakthrough that you need. I'm excited about today's message. It may be exactly what you need to hear. And I'm so glad that you're here. And we'll read this passage together, and then we'll pray, and we'll get started. Reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. We'll read through this, and then we'll unpack it and let God speak. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, and go first, and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. And so we are talking today on this topic. Let it go. Let it go. Turn to somebody and tell them, we good? We good? And you may be seated. I've got a friend that he's a fellow minister now, but he used to work for NASA, and he was the publicity director for one of the shuttle missions, and he was the guy that actually got to do the countdown. I mean, when you hear, you know, the 10, the 9, and so I was teasing him, I was like, did you have to study for that? I mean, you know, there's a lot of pressure, you know, getting that right, you know, making sure, you know, you're not counting up, you know, you could ruin the whole mission. And a lot of cool stories, you know, from being, you know, as part of that. And so he enjoyed it, but I was driving back up to the airport, and he was sharing a story. And at first, I thought he was making it up, because it just sounded too strange. But sure enough, I went and verified it. He said he was telling about how it was a few years ago, NASA had put together a probe that went to Mars. And, I mean, the years and the amount of manpower and the amount of money invested in this thing was supposed to go to Mars and then circle around Mars and then give feedback of the atmosphere and what was kind of going around the planet. And an estimated $125 million into just this piece of hardware, of which when it got to the planet, it nosedived right out of the sky, right into the ground. It had made it from the Earth all the way to Mars. I mean, just everything was functioning great. But as soon as it went into orbit, it just nosedived right in, crashed. Total loss. Total loss. I mean, years and years of work. Millions and millions of dollars spent. Hours and months and manpower just lost in a moment. And they began to ask the question, what went wrong? I mean, everything was going right. It gets there and just bam, just crash lands right into the planet. What went wrong? And they found out what was wrong. It was a measurement error. And it came down to this, something this simple, that all of NASA, when they're doing programming, they use the metric system. Because they have so many different developers throughout the world, they've all standardized upon that. Except there was one team that didn't use the metric system. They were using the imperial or the English system. Instead of using liters and meters, they were using feet and inches. And because of that one simple change in the measurement, the entire project was lost because they weren't using the proper measurement. Entire project. Now it was tragic, and you know, it was a lot of investment that was lost, a lot of scientific potential that was lost. But you know, they rallied together and you know, putting together another one, and they can replace it. But what's even more tragic is when it comes to a life, when it comes to an eternity, that we have to make sure that we are measuring our life and our eternity not based upon what's comfortable for us, not based upon what we feel is the way it should be for us, but upon the only measurement that matters. And when we look to Scripture, it is what God says that matters. And there is no verse where we get to our end of our time and God says, so tell me how you think you did. Nothing there. There's nothing there that says that God grades on a curve where he says, well, you did better than them, so that counts for something. It doesn't work that way. We have to look at what God says. That's the only measurement that matters. And doing anything other than that is futile. It just doesn't work. We have got to get it right. So turn to somebody and tell them, we've got to get it right. We'll be judged not on how we thought we did or how we compared to others, but we're going to be judged on what Jesus said. And so that's what we're looking at in this series. We're saying, what did really Jesus say was the measurement? But the problem is that Jesus said some really crazy stuff. He said some things that just when we look at him, it just doesn't make sense. But yet, if that's what matters, we've got to get it right. And so we've got to look at the difficult things that Jesus said. And Jesus spoke in ways that seemed extreme, and they brought clarity even when we don't want clarity. He brought people to a place of a yes or a no, not an if or a maybe. And so that's why many of us, we struggle with God's word or God's plan, because we like to make it best fit ourselves or our condition. Or if you heard my story, but what God is saying just doesn't work that way. So last week we talked about this and we launched this and we looked at some really tough verses, and it really came down to this. Jesus said, you got to be completely sold out. No excuses. No excuses. You got to be all in. Okay, you can't jump off the cliff and still leave one leg. Okay, it doesn't work that way. Okay, you got to be all in. He says, to this extent that you're going to be totally in obedience to what I'm asking you to do, even if it looks like, well, you must just hate your family because you're living to that extreme, or you must really just hate yourself because you're willing to do that. Or is to a place where he's even said, even if you look at something and if God says, hey, this is the plan, you go, well, that would kill me. And God says, yeah, that's the extent. That's the limit. And he says, other than that, just don't call yourself a Christian. We got to be sold out. And we looked at it, and what could seem so negative on the front, we realize is the most incredibly positive thing. He says, look, trust me. Trust me. Because in every single case, when we go, okay, God, here it is. I'm going to do it your way. We look back and we say, that wasn't even a fair trade. I got so much more. God's way is so better. God's way is so much more than I could expect. And he says, look, I want you to trust me fully with your life. And so that's what we talked about last week, being completely sold out. No excuses, no reasons. Doesn't work that way. And so if you're living life and you know what you're doing is wrong, and you hope that someday when you go up to God and say, hey, let me tell you my story, let me tell you my circumstance, let me tell me how, like, that would be really hard, Jesus, just heads up, it ain't going to count for anything. So here's the thing. Just be sold out. Just be sold out and watch what God does. So turn to somebody else and say, hey, be sold out. Be sold out. All right. So last week we talked about a relationship with God, but we're going to shift and we're going to talk about our relationship with others. It is that important. In fact, when we look at the New Testament, Jesus says some pretty radical stuff in that the Old Testament was all about a relationship between you and God, you and God, you and God. If there was sin, you could take it to God, be forgiven. Okay. You and God, you and God. In the New Testament, Jesus changed the rules. He says, look, it's still between you and God, but of equal importance is between you and everybody else. You and God, still important, but all of a sudden now the playing field has changed. Now, when we look at what Jesus taught, and we talked about this last week, Jesus taught in extremes. When he told stories, they were like the extreme version of the story because he was trying to get his point across, but also he wanted to show the extent of the commitment required. And so when we read these parables and we read these stories, we go, wow, that seems like it's just as far out as it can be. And Jesus is saying, look, I am pushing the envelope to make this as clear as I possibly can. I want to show you what the extreme thing looks like so that you can find clarity. And this passage that we're about to read is no exception. So we're going to dive into that. Reading from Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is telling this story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold, turn to somebody and say, that's a lot of dough, was brought to him. Okay, that's a big debt. Hopefully, when you get your credit card receipt, okay, back, it does not say something like that, right? Here's what you owe Visa. 10,000 bags of gold. That would be bad. But here's the story Jesus is telling. It's extreme. That's a ton of money. It's an extreme debt. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered him that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So as we look at the stories that Jesus tells, the parables, we try to find who's who. Where is God in this story? Where am I in this story? What's he talking about? And in this story, we see a couple of characters. We see the master, and that's pretty easy. So God would be the master. God would be the one that's in charge. He's the one making the decision. And we look at this story, there's somebody that had a huge debt to pay. That would be me. That would be you. When we have sin in our life, it is a debt. Scripture refers to it as a debt. It's larger than what we could ever pay. It's more than what we could ever come up with. We have sin, and it's more than what we could pay for. And we owe. And so we're seeing this story and also the effect of that debt. That if that debt remains, what he's saying is this, is that that debt affects not only you, but it affects your family. It affects everything. And sin has a way of doing that, doesn't it? That sin in our life has a way of rippling out and affecting a lot more than just us. We've seen lives torn apart. We've seen families torn apart. We've seen households and so many things torn apart because of one person's sin. And he's telling this story. He says, hey, this is what it looks like. This is what it's all about. And at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me. He begged and he says, I will do my best to pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. And what we see here is this wonderful picture of God's grace and mercy. And the amazing thing was, is that he gave no reason. He says, look, I'm just going to forgive you. There was no exceptions. There was no trial plan. There was no, well, I'm going to put you on probation for a while and see how you do. It was completely forgiven for no other reason than that he asked the master. And this is the way that God works. When we come to him with this incredible debt, God is there and he is faithful to forgive. How many are thankful for God's forgiveness? How many have ever had that aspect where I've come to God and said, God, I owe more than what I can pay. God, I messed up. I have broken. I'm above what I can even come up with, but God, please have mercy. And God says, I forgive. I cancel the debt. And we love that feeling of forgiveness. We love the hope that comes with saying, I owed a debt I couldn't pay, and I have been set free. I am now changed. I am now forgiven. And we celebrate. We celebrate. That's what God does. And it is so powerful. No matter what you have done, God is able and willing to forgive. And I love that part of the story. I love that aspect of God. But Jesus wasn't done talking, because he's still going on with the story. He says, but when the servant found out that one of his, oh, this is key, if we can look at this, found out one of his, what? Fellow servants, which means what? Same master. Same master in your same position. Same life. When one of his fellow servants owed him 100 silver coins, look at the response. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Now remember we talked about how Jesus told stories? Jesus was like the action movie of the day, right? They didn't have, you know, Steven Spielberg or anything like that, but they had Jesus. He was telling these stories. And look at the drama. You know, guy going in, he's about ready to lose his family. He's about ready to lose his children. And, you know, going into this prison, he's like, I've been forgiven. And just, oh, Aaron, the soundtrack kicks in. It's this beautiful moment. But then he comes out and he sees his buddy. You owe me money. And he doesn't just say it. What's Jesus say? He does it. He grabs him by the neck. Give me my money. Starts to choke him. Puts him in a headlock. Jesus is a cool storyteller. He grabbed him. He began to choke him and says, pay back what you owe me. He demanded, and the servant finally broke the chokehold. Between gasps, he said, his fellow servant fell to his knees. Same position, same story. He begged him, be patient with me. I will pay it back. Notice the same words? Same story, same situation. But look at the response. But he refused. And instead he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. He says, I'll make you pay. You owe me. You owe me. Jesus goes on and says, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything. Remember those people in elementary school? They're here in Scripture. You remember that? You do something wrong, we're telling the teacher. We're telling. It felt that that was their calling, that was their ministry, right? They were the informers. See, they've been around for a long time. Been around for a long time. They were outraged, went and told their master everything that happened. And then the master called the servant in. He said, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. Now, this is a good place to stop in the story because it's a very safe place to stop in the story because Jesus was teaching this. He's teaching that we should forgive. We get this. This is a very graphic, very powerful example of the fact that we should forgive. So turn to somebody and tell them, we should forgive. You should forgive. You should. And Jesus is pointing out in this story saying, look, here is the measurement. This is an extreme story. This is an extreme example. But here is the measurement of what matters. Here is how we're going to look at things. This is the curve. This is the way that it has to be. He's pointing out. He says, look, I forgive and I expect the same from you. That you come to me and I forgive debt that you cannot pay. I forgive the greatest debt. I forgive the extreme debt. I forgive the debt that is so big and so large that there is no way. I do that. That's my model. That's what I do. I'm God. That's what I do. And I simply expect you to just go and do the same. You've been forgiven. Now just go and forgive. And he's teaching us we should forgive, except that when we look at this story, it doesn't balance well. Because what Jesus tells us is in the story is this, that I forgive and I expect the same from you. And if not, I'm going to reapply the debt of everything that I forgave you of originally back to you. See, I don't like that. I like the loving God. I like the candy-coated, sugar-crusted, come-next-Sunday-and-buy-sweets kind of God, right? I like the God that forgives and just keeps forgiving. I don't like this aspect. I don't like that second part of the story because that doesn't seem comfortable to me. And so from my perspective and many perspectives, what we do is this. We go, I don't necessarily like how that story ends, so you know what? We're just going to kind of forgive that other part. We're going to stick with the we should forgive and just kind of go that. You should really forgive. You should do that. You should. It's the right thing to do. You should forgive. But Jesus wasn't teaching you should forgive. What he was really teaching is this. It's this next slide. You must forgive. You must forgive. And if there's any doubt, look at this next verse in the story. Look at what Jesus says. He tells the story and then he says this. This is exactly how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. And it's important that he put those last few words in this. He didn't say from your mouth. I forgive you. Loser, right? I forgive you. no, no, no. He says, this is how it is. This is the measurement. This is what matters. Whether you are comfortable with it or not, this is the measure that we will all be measured on. And I wonder, as we look at this, that maybe somewhere along the line we've missed this. We like the should forgive. Should forgive is, I can live with that because I really should, but you know, I'm not really quite there yet. The must forgive, that's a lot harder. But that's what Jesus says matters. And I wonder, how many have felt through the years separated? How many have felt that weight of guilt and debt simply because of what we've held on to? I wonder how many have felt the weight again of what was lifted from them, but yet you've brought back on because you've held on. That you've not let go. You see, when we look at the words of Jesus, it seems extreme. He says, mean that God that forgives is willing to undo that if I don't forgive? You see, that sounds so crazy. That sounds so wrong, but yet that is the measurement that Jesus said. He said, forgiveness is not optional. Forgiveness must happen. And see, this is why it's so important that we take time to actually look at what Jesus said, because we can come to a point in our life where we go, well, you know what? I'm forgiven, but you know what? There are people that have hurt me. There's some people that have done me wrong. There's some people that said things or done things, and you know what? They were wrong, and I'm still holding on to that, but oh, I'm so thankful that God has forgiven me, and God is saying, wait, you have got it wrong. That, you know what, you keep going like this, at the end of your story, you're going to have the same ending as that NASA satellite. You got to the end, and it was a crash landing. It wasn't what you expected because you were using the wrong measurement. You were holding on to some things, and God is saying, you need to let those go. I've forgiven you. You must forgive. And you go, that's extreme. And God says, yeah, you're right. But we go, well, you don't know my story. And God goes, yes, I do know your story. And we go, well, I don't like that. And I go, okay, I didn't say it. Jesus did. You take it up with him. Because you will have to someday. He's simply teaching forgiveness is not optional. He's also saying forgiveness is not to be delayed. He's saying, you must do this, and you must do this now. It can't be, you know, I'm working up to it, or someday I'm going to. No, no, look at the second story that he tells. Matthew chapter 5, he's going on. He's teaching. This is Jesus. He's telling this story. He says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Here's what he's saying. He says, there's this assumption that you need to take care of this before. He says, you need to take care of this before you get here. You know, there's a whole lot of church issues that would not be a problem if we did what Jesus said. Just take care of it ahead of time. I think it's also interesting to take note who's at fault. He says, if somebody has a problem with you, not that you have a problem with them. He says, it doesn't matter. Even if you're the innocent party. He says this, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Just stop it. Go take care of what is important. Here's the thing. Jesus is teaching. He says, look, if you just keep going through the motions, you lose the urgency of the situation. If I can come and act like everything's good when it's not, you start to believe that everything is good when it's not. If I can come and worship God and sing about forgiveness and, you know what, I'm just thankful that God has forgiven me and one of these days I'm going to forgive. He says, no, no, no. If you start living like that, you start believing that, and that is not the case. He says, look, take care of it now. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't finish the song. Don't finish the prayer. Don't finish what you're right in the point of doing. You need to take care of this. It's that important. These are God's words. He says, there is a reason behind this. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. And he says, then go first, be reconciled, and then come back. And then come back. And understand the full power behind what true forgiveness is like. The bottom line principle of this story is just real simple. Maybe you've heard this phrase before. It's just simply this: forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. And you can read that backwards and forwards. You can say, you know what? I've got to forgive people to be forgiven. It's a two-way street. It's not an either or. It has to be both. Because the truth is this, is that Calvary took away our right not to forgive. That when Jesus went to Calvary, he says, I'm willing to pay the ultimate price for you. I'm willing to bleed and to die and allow them to physically just tear my body apart to pay the debt that you owed. And I'm willing to give that freely to you when you can stand before me and I look at you as being perfect, as being completely forgiven, as saying every wrong thing that you have ever done, I'm willing to take it and say, it's paid for. It's done. It's washed away. You are made new. You are brand new. You are whole. You are perfect. I am willing to heal. I am willing to restore. I am willing to rebuild all of those things that have, where sin has torn you apart. He says, I am willing to do all of that. All of that. And I just expect you to go and just be a model of that to others. Just go be a reflection of that to others. I'm forgiving you. Just go and forgive others. It's that powerful. It's that important. Because of Calvary, we have the mandate that we must go and forgive. But here's the thing, because we wrestle with, I want to clarify this, because oftentimes we forget what forgiveness is. A lot of times when we're struggling, we think that forgiveness is saying what you did wasn't wrong. That is not what forgiveness is. When we come to God and we say, I've sinned, forgive me. He goes, well, you know, that wasn't wrong. That's not how God treats sin. The way God treats sin is this: that's wrong, but you don't owe me any. When we forgive someone, we are not saying that what you did was okay. What we are saying is this: you don't owe me anymore. What you did was wrong. What you did hurt. What you did broke. What you did caused pain. What you did caused hurt. What you did caused damage. But you know what? You don't owe me anymore. Because I just walked out of the presence of a God that forgave me. A God that offered me eternity. A God that offered me hope. A God that offered me forgiveness. And you know what? You don't owe me. Because I don't want to put at risk the incredible gift that I just received. So in light of that, you don't owe me anymore. And we release it, and we let it go, and we move on. But I know this, is that here's the thing. We're all human. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're human. You got issues. You got a problem. And how many have ever done this? It's rare that we can just do one thing once, right, and just have it stick. Let's just be honest, okay? Right? Okay? You know what I'm talking about? Because here's the thing. When those times of weakness come, and those times where we get hurt, we just get hit with it again, don't we? And so here's the thing, it is a continual thing where we say this: you still don't owe me anymore. That pain was real, but you know what? You don't owe me. The same way that we go to God, that's why forgiveness is such an important part. Jesus says, hey, every time you pray, you need to ask for forgiveness. Let's repeat it again. Every time that you pray, you ask God, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me again. And in the same way in our life, every time we come up with that situation, we're hit with it again, what do we say? Okay, you don't owe me anymore. You don't owe me anymore. I am free. I am blessed. And so you know what? I release that. I release that. Now here's the thing. And this is not going to be easy. So I'm out of notes here, by the way. I'm just talking as a pastor right now. Let's just be honest. Because it is really easy to forgive people at an altar. And a whole lot harder to forgive somebody over a coffee. It's a whole lot easier to forgive people to God. God, I forgive them. Bless them, Lord. You're laughing because you prayed that. You know what I'm talking about. Lord, let them know the error of their ways as I put them into your mighty hands. And Lord, let the lightning of your presence just burn them to a crisp in Jesus' name. But I forgive them, God. I forgive them. And we can say, I've forgiven them. I've forgiven them. But do they know that you've forgiven them? How would you like this? We use the model that God has given us. We want to know that God has forgiven us. We use the same model. So you know what some of you need to do? You need to go make a phone call. You need to go write a note. You need to have a conversation. But that would kill me. Yeah, but remember last week when we said there's no excuse. And here I promise. If you will do it God's way, the end result after that is done will blow your mind at how incredible God's way works. You say it was so hard, but you know what? I talked to him. I said, you know what? What you did, it hurt. But I'm saying, I forgive you. I forgive you. Because I've been forgiven. Do you know what would happen? Do you realize the effect of that? There is a releasing and a powerful, powerful presence that would happen if we would do this. Because here's the thing, it's not an if or an and, it's a must. Because God loves you so much, and here's what is the whole principle behind this, is unforgiveness is like a weight. It's like an anchor. It's like a sickness that eats us from the inside. And God says, I love you so much that I don't want you to have to live with that. So I'm not going to make this optional. I love you so much in the life that I have for you. I want it to be so blessed. I'm not making this optional. You've got to do this because I want you to experience all that I have for you. So I'm saying, you got to do it. You got to do it. It requires trust. It requires a step of faith. But here's what you will discover is that God's word is true. Now, I know there are some people here that there is no way that you can call them. They've gone on. They've gone on to their reward. But here's the thing, that you've still allowed what they did in your past to still be that anchor. You're still holding on to that. It is still tearing you up. And you can put on a good face and you can put on a good smile and you think you're pretending, you know, to go through life. But here it is. It's showing. It's coming through. It's affecting. Because you are taking back all of those things that God has done. And you're saying, I would much rather bear the weight of my sin than to release them from theirs. That is not a good trade. That is not a good trade. So what do? Then the person you've got to talk to, if you can't talk to them, is you got to talk to you. And maybe it's you standing in front of a mirror, nobody else around, and saying what they did hurt and what they did was wrong. But as from this moment on, they don't owe me. From this moment on, I'm closing the door to that, and I'm not reopening it. I forgive them. Maybe it's you talking to them in an imaginary conversation. I don't know. Maybe it's you writing them a letter and then throwing it on a fire someplace where it is drawing a line in the sand saying, you know what? I can't live without being forgiven. Therefore, I must forgive. Jesus said it's not a should, it's a must. And it's important. And I must do it. Because here's the thing. When you live a life where you have forgiven others, there is the full power of being forgiven in your life. And God is saying, I want to do something so great. I want to do something so powerful. I want to do something so amazing that you've got to trust me in this. You got to trust me. I know this is one of those messages where there's no whole lot of amens. It's like, oh man, I can't wait to do this. Oh, this is exciting. So glad I came today. Now I feel rotten again. You know what I'd say to that? Good. That's how you know it's working. It's kind of like going to the doctor. It hurts. Yeah, that's how I know it's working. It's the same way that Jesus spoke. He didn't pull any punches. There was no wiggle room. He says, look, you want to be forgiven? This is what it takes. Recognize what the measurement is. Because at the end of the day, when you stand before God and you go, God, but I came to church and I asked you to forgive me. And you did forgive me. You don't want God saying, well, the rest of your story is you walked out of there and you didn't forgive. You walked out of there and you picked it up again. And you heard what my word said. And you knew the ramifications of that. You're not going to get the ending that you think you want. Don't want that. What we want is this. We stand before God. We say, God, you forgave me. And he says, you know what's so beautiful? Is you walked out of there and you began to forgive. And not only did you forgive, but because of that, there was a healing that was brought into your life. There was a healing that was brought into your soul. And look at how I used my word to not only forgive, but to heal and to restore and to change the whole trajectory of your life. Come on in. Come on home. Come on home. These are the words of Jesus. Maybe this is why, you know, I know we have several seeking for the Holy Ghost. Maybe this is what's holding you back. You got to forgive. You got to forgive and then ask God to forgive you. Maybe this is why you're going through something or why it just seems like God seems so distant or everything is such a struggle. Let it go. Today is the day to let it go. Because there is a master saying, I love you so much that I went to Calvary. Don't discount that. It's your choice. It's your choice. And God is saying, here's the new measurement. You got to forgive. And I forgive. I'm thankful that God is faithful, that every time we ask him to forgive, he does. I'm thankful there's a God that's saying, you know what? You bring me your incredible debt and just go model what I've placed in your life. Today's the day. It's been long enough. It's time to let it go. And let God's word take root the way that it was intended to. It's like a surgeon's scalpel, the Bible says. It just cuts and divides and does surgery to heal. Some of you, again, I don't know your stories. Some of you have some stuff that maybe nobody knows. Maybe happened a long time ago. You've never told your story or it's not public. But you've held on to it. And if we were to hear your story, we'd agree with you. You're right. Man, they were wrong. But what Jesus said changed it. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. It's time to start your new life. Your new chance. And it's not a time to say, well, you know what? I plan on doing it and I plan on, you know, maybe, you know, let me get through Easter, you know, or this summer when it gets, no, it starts today. We say it this way, that all change starts at an altar. And so we come to God here in just a moment and say, God, you talking to my heart today? you're hitting me right where it hurts, and I don't like this message. I don't like that you said that, but I got to trust you. So God, help me to know what to do, because you've forgiven me, and God, I'm guilty of being the guy in this story, and I'm going to change that today. So I'm leaving here, and I'm doing what I need to do, and then I'm coming back to you, and I'm going to celebrate the forgiveness that is mine. And watch how God strengthens you, gives you wisdom, and you'll see the doors begin to open, but it's got to be your choice. It's got to be your decision. I wish it was the other way around. I wish I could be the guy in the story that would grab you and put you in a headlock and make you forgive. Trust me, I'd do it. I'd choke all of you out in Jesus' name if that was the case. Forgive him in Jesus' name. You know, okay. But I can't. And neither does God. God doesn't work that way either. God doesn't put you in a headlock until you get it right. Doesn't work that way. It'd be so much easier. But he says, it's your choice. But here's the measurement. Don't fool yourself anymore. This is the measurement. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? You got to let it go. Let's stand.